association with Who1.co.uk presents the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast number 88. I'm Adam.
I'm over the other side of the bedroom.
Thank you. Oh, for good.
I'm over the other side of the world.
That wins.
No, yes. I'm on the other side of the world.
All right, yes, and I've got Kirby, Ben, and Reese with me.
You're on one of the other sides.
Grief. This is going to be a nightmare. Right.
I'm back on my side of the bedroom now.
I will be leaving this podcast and then coming back to it. Shut up at some point. So, listeners, I'll have to leave you in the capable hands of Messrs. Shoveler, Bartlett, Sloan, and Parton, and possibly Haynes during the time that I'm travelling to Shanklin to get the dogs cleaned. I mean, the dogs' haircuts. But in the meantime,
I wonder what takes priority in your life, Adam.
Well, it's one thing that does put the podcast off the rails is me getting a dog's haircuts done. And if you remember, in times gone by, Ben, you and I, in fact, have recorded the podcast in the co-op car park in Shanklin.
Yes.
And that was on a similar occasion that I was getting the dog's haircuts done. And me and Kirby, you and I have also recorded in a similar fashion.
Did you just say similar?
Similar.
I thought you said cymbala, because I was going to point out that's not a word.
Thank you for that. Right then, so Mark of the Rani by Pip and Jane Baker. Now, when I saw that on the title sequence, my alarm bell started ringing, the words Pip and Jane Baker.
Oh, that's something I don't know about. That went over the top of my head.
That's one of the reasons why I really don't like the Sixth Doctor's era at all, except I like this one.
Now, that's what I was trying to say, because Pip and Jane Baker are useless, but on this particular story, that she were quite good. But I think there was a lot of script editing going on in this story to actually tie things in with the Nathan Turner era. But this actually was quite good. But we'll crack on. It starts off with some coal miners just going about their duties, and the music.
Some pretty good music,
But the music, though, Reese, it's too synthesised for something that's supposed to be set. It didn't work for me because it was too much synthesizer in the Victorian age.
Yeah, but hold on a minute. You have synthesized music in space in a lot of the other Doctor Who episodes, and are you telling me they have synthesizers in space?
That's not the point I was trying to make. The style of music didn't quite lend itself to that era for me. I know other people like that.
I didn't have any problem with the music at all.
I can see where you're coming from.
I
thought it was a nice
piece. Composition. Very nice. I just prefer if it had been played on instruments that have been more sort of for the age. But never mind, that's just me being...
That's how I feel quite a lot about the classic who I've seen. I'm not much of a synthesizer fan. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, some old woman lets these workers into the bathhouse and they get gassed by some dry ice. The Doctor and Perry are sort of being sort of manoeuvred off course by something or other, and they're still continuing to have pathetic bickering in the TARDIS. And she's already wearing, I noted, this sort of costume, which was... wasn't really Victorian, I thought. It was probably a bit earlier than Victorian. Anyway, she's already wearing...
Most disappointed. Where was the pink jumps, the pink leotard?
Yeah, too much. Not enough flesh got on the show, was there? But yeah, I couldn't quite understand why she was already wearing a sort of costume... Sort of, unless they'd been on an adventure that we didn't see between the previous story and this one. That's the only thinking on it.
That's what I normally assume when I watch Classic Who, because I'm always watching it out of order.
Yes. But anyway, there's a time distortion. A Time Lord or Dalek, suggests the Doctor. She says, who by? And he goes, by whom? Sort of gets very... And this particular incarnation of the Doctor is particularly pedantic, and I do like that.
I find it more pernickety than pedantic.
Oh, I like pedantic. Yeah.
I'm sure you do.
Meanwhile, unconscious workers are laid out on the floor, and I think we see the little red mark on the neck briefly, because it's difficult when you're writing notes, because you do miss little details sometimes.
Have you heard of the pause button?
No, I wouldn't have. I was watching it this morning, so I didn't have time to press any pause buttons.
So was I.
Perry moans a lot.
In my dreams, she does anyway.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
God. Anyway, the Doctor follows this time distortion and work with a little gadget, and the workers start acting slightly aggressively, a bit like Chelsea fans after a, you know, particularly...
I'd say Millwall fans after they were throwing bottles on the pitch this weekend.
Oh, was it this week? Oh, the Millwall fans, and I'll change
as,
that.
As Reese and I, who are both not sports fans, go, what?
Yes.
Yeah, but I will point out that these the fans, I'm using the inverted comma thing and for these people who like to cause trouble. They're not actually
Kirby,
fans.
We don't go, what? We go...
Oh, shush, no.
Yes, exactly.
The people who want to cause trouble after sport events are not fans, they're just troublemakers.
What about the ones who cause trouble during the events?
Same thing. Anyway.
They're the players,
after
aren't they?
After the events.
The players. Nice one. Anyway, Perry spouts on about ecology. Now, this is the first time that, and probably the only time, they've gone back to this idea of Perry being a university student and having some sort of education. They used it quite well in this story, this sort of aspect of Perry's sort of life.
Didn't that seem just a bit convenient that she knew all that?
Well, she was a university... She should do. Planet of Fire, was quite well educated. She was on some sort of vacation from a university.
Well, it's just the way you said that made it seem like this was an unusual thing. But if she's been that clever before, then I'll shut up.
And if she's a university student, what's she doing out of bed before 3 p.m? and why aren't there loads of tins of baked beans and pot noodles scattered around the TARDIS?
Ben,
she's at a party and can't be bothered to tidy it up.
Ben, that's wibbly wobbly. Will you stop interrupting? It's wibbly wobbly timey wimey. That's why she's out of bed. She doesn't know what time of day it is. Anyway,
I've never even seen her bed, apart from in my head. Obviously.
Anyway, there are no birds, apparently.
Yes, there are. I see one every time.
And there was a particularly effective scarecrow in the field watching them.
Didn't that make you think of Human Nature?
It did indeed. But I think it was probably that came from that. You know, the
Paul Cornell probably saw this and said,
Probably thought this and what a brilliant story. I must
made me think of the Wizard of Oz, actually, with the scarecrow.
Yes. Anyway, there's this delivery man on the horse and cart is attacked by these sort of mad workers. And the Doctor and Perry sort of just come across in time to rescue. Excuse me. Pardon me, just drinking tea and podcasting doesn't work too well. Rescues them, and Doctor sees this mark on Jack Ward's neck, and his ears prick up when George Stevenson's name is mentioned. The master chuckles, so instantly you know he's there. There's no sort of... There's not really sort of... hidden. Normally when the master's there, he's in disguise. You know, you find out later on in the episode, oh, it's the master.
Well, like
but on this occasion, a little chuckle, you knew straight away it was the master. and he has a death to arrange, as he says a few scenes later, which I quite like that line.
That's quite a good shot too.
People are carrying shotguns, I noticed, which was quite unusual probably for the time.
I think you'll find they're actually blunderbusses.
Yes.
Okay, what you just said.
Because a shotgun would aim the bullets or pellets in a more confined area, whereas a blunderbuss, which I think that was, would scatter them in a general area that you're kind of aiming, which is why they were so poor at shooting.
That shows your...
Today's factual information brought to you by Ben.
And I didn't even have to watch the info text.
I was quite impressed by that, Ben.
I made it up, well done. But it might be
for
true.
For God's sake.
Yeah, the info text didn't say anything about that.
Did it not?
Well, mine did.
Anyway... this man with a dog has a list of geniuses without the Doctor's name on it, and so he goes off to fetch his boss and shuts him in some room for some reason, puts him under guard by this huge, great, big Great Dane. Poor old Great Dane. Doesn't last for long, though, does he? Anyway, the Doctor and Perry are shut in this room, guarded by the Great Dane. The dog gets spooked because he senses the evilness of the master, runs off. The master then shoots him with his phallic device. And he makes a horrible sort of noise and then shoots some other bloke that runs to the aid of the poor doggy. I initially thought it was the dog's owner, but the dog's owner seems to have no regard for the fact his dog's vanished from there onwards.
It seems to be whatever guard is there at the time is the owner.
Oh, yeah, maybe so.
And also, just think, you know, on the positive side, how much money that he'd save on dog food.
True, yeah. Scrooge, I'm just turning over my piece of paper. Master sets the thugs onto the Doctor by saying, "Oh, he's, you know, he's the cause for your problems or whatever." They're quite obviously, being that they're in that state of mind, they're quite happy to go and be set onto somebody. And the Doctor tells Perry to run as he's pushed into a mineshaft and is hanging onto this chain thing. Now, what made me laugh about this is that they were trying to get him to fall down this thing by banging gently with the spade the chain itself rather than the Doctor's hands, which would probably have been a bit more effective.
Or so he's banging him on the head.
Yeah, so they let's bang the chain. That's going to do it.
It was a little bit EastEnders BBC fight acting, wasn't it? It was a bit pony, I think the phrase we need to use without using a rude word this week, which you'll forget to edit out.
Yeah. Anyway, shut up. Thank you for that. I did replace that file. Sorry, listeners, if you happen to get the first version of the last episode with the slipped in expletive.
It was an absolute freaking disgrace.
Anyway, he is rescued by Lord Ravensworth. Do I look like a man who attacks machines? Says the Doctor, and sort of Perry sort of raises her eyebrows and rolls her eyes. I thought that was quite funny. The old woman attaches machinery to this man's neck, and the Master appears at the doorway, and the Rani reveals herself.
Not in the way we want Perry.
She pulls her hood down and shows.
What was that about bleeping?
She's a Rani.
She's the bleeping Rani.
And she sticks a maggot in the man's mouth, a green maggot, which reminded me a little bit of the Green Death, but obviously much smaller.
Reminded maggots. Me a little bit of I'm a Celebrity, Green. Get me out of here.
Oh, yes, and true, that's true. But they didn't scream and shout like Sunita on this particular occasion. I can't read that word. Rani. Yeah, I was right. It was the Rani.
It was the.
The Rani is extracting a brain chemical that stops people from resting or sleeping, and it makes them aggressive. And then we meet this young Luke chap who looks a little bit like a male version of Anne Hathaway, I thought when I saw him. And the Doctor realised that the bathhouse is involved in the conspiracy and sort of heads off down there to investigate. And he dirties himself up by putting a sort of the coat he was wearing was much more sort of tasteful than appealing. His normal coat. Yes, appealing, that's what.
Did you watch the bit of the extra on the DVD where they were explaining that they were about to film that before lunch or something and it was all just BBC dirt? Then during lunch time, a dog came along and did what dogs do.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
And then he smeared it all over his face, yeah.
No, oh, dear.
I did that last night just to know what it would feel
that's
like.
That's called method
acting. Nice. Oh,
that's really getting in the role, isn't it?
Yes. But anyway, the Master is attacked, but Rani stops the attack, fearful that the brain fluid that he's nicked off her, because he sort of takes this little flask of brain fluid away to use to sort of bribe her into doing what he wants. So basically she arranges for him to get ambushed, but then she remembers he's got a flask of this stuff on it and sort of calls off the attack by remote control. The Doctor arrives at the bathhouse and is gassed. The Master persuades the thugs to throw the Doctor's TARDIS down the mineshaft. I was quite interested to see how they did this mineshaft TARDIS scene. Apparently it was done with a mirror looking and shoot a camera into the mirror and they drop the sort of fake TARDIS down the shaft.
Ever so light, the TARDIS, considering its mass.
Yes, indeed.
Yes. I was also a bit surprised because the Master knows how massive a TARDIS is and how pretty much indestructible, so what
three
was
blokes.
The point?
Yeah, that's all it takes, three blokes to do it.
I did.
No worries.
I thought you might notice that bit, that slight flaw in the plot. Anyway, but the trouble is, it's not really destructible, but if it's down a mineshaft, it's very difficult for the Doctor to get to it, so basically it renders it useless. That's what he's thinking. And also,
It's difficult to get to when there's plenty of hoisting equipment around.
True.
It doesn't make sense.
The other thing is that it gets thrown down, like, upside down, so, but when they, I'm pretty sure when they get it back, it's the right way up. I don't know.
Yes.
It's the TARDIS. It saves itself.
Maybe so. Maybe it's like a cat.
Self-writing device.
Yeah. Rani prepares the Doctor, but realises the Time Lord for some reason after listening to his chest. Then the Doctor discovers that the Master's alive when Rani sort of mentions the Master's name. There's quite a good little scene between the Doctor and the Master. The banter between the three of them is quite funny. I quite like it when they're all three together. They sort of play off each other really, really well. Considering this is the first time that Colin Baker's Doctor has actually met Anthony Ainley's Master, the rapport is there straight away, and I quite like that aspect of it. Perry comes to the rescue, and she has to... What's that say?
Hang
on. Push. Oh, yeah, well done. Yeah, push.
Wow.
I've been reading with my five-year-old all weekend. I kind of like have this sense now for what words are going to be.
Yeah, push the other man who's in a sort of adjacent bed outside because the guards have been said that if the Doctor moves, they kill the other man. Which is quite a clever bit of the plot anyway, because obviously these things, he will give himself his own life for anybody, so she works out that if she puts another person under threat, then that'll do the job on the Doctor. But anyway, so she wheels the man out, and Rani arrives back with the Master, and is going to kill Perry. But then Rani realizes that she can have Perry's brain fluid. But it's funny how that all the other people that she's been using have been men. Just quite a little point I just wanted to pick up on that.
That's because all the women in the episode were inside washing, cooking, and cleaning.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So Rani from the Sarah Jane Adventures is just a regenerated Time Lord.
Yeah, that's it. The TARDIS is
safe. Rani means princess.
And a regenerated Time Lord that turned good.
You notice this continues the tradition of all renegade Time Lords are something like there's the Master, the Monk, the Doctor, the Rani.
Yeah.
It's always a the.
Yeah.
Just because they ran out of names pretty early on in Gallifrey, and so they had to give them all nicknames.
Okay, anyway, the TARDIS is seen on its way
to
its destruction.
Dave the Time Lord, now we've got a Dave the Time Lord. Jeff the Time Lord.
Bob,
stop it.
Bob.
Dave.
Bob.
Will you be quiet? The TARDIS
Bob
is...
Time Lord, no.
Shush! The TARDIS is seen
Frank.
On its way to its destruction, but the Doctor makes the Master believe... Will you be quiet? The Doctor makes the Master... Shush!
Hey, you're not talking to Alicia now.
The Doctor makes the Master believe that it's an illusion created by the Rani. The Doctor's bed is then pushed outside to see the TARDIS go down the pit for real. Push! Shouts the Doctor. No, Perry, the other way! I quite like that scene,
actually. He could have said pull.
Yeah. He carries careers down the road and the thugs catch him and then push him towards the pit shaft end of episode one. Episode two. Hey, saved by George Stevenson. I have got 6 minutes, you know. Shush. Yeah, it's anyway, saved by George Stevenson. The Doctor suggests the meeting that Stevenson's arranged with all the geniuses is cancelled, because obviously too many geniuses together is a bit of a problem. Luke goes to find his father, despite the warning from the Doctor. Master puts a maggot in Luke after he hypnotises him, and obviously then Luke becomes under the power and the control of the Master. Doctor rescues Perry from a little bit of bother, and Master wants control of the geniuses for some reason, unbeknownst to anybody else. Interesting. Hang on, what's that say? Oh yeah, because the Doctor says, interesting fellow, the Bard. Must see him again sometime. Of course, he did see him again sometime in Shakespeare Co. The Doctor sets off booby trap consisting of mustard gas that Sir Rani had put in some cloak thing that was covering her TARDIS. And Perry fetches some gas masks and Rani's TARDIS is revealed. And the actual set for Rani's TARDIS control room was absolutely brilliant, I thought it was a superb set.
And the time rotor too.
Absolutely. Pardon?
Was the same space as used in the Doctor's TARDIS.
Yes. Very, very good set, though. But, yeah, it was, and he orders Perry to leave just because he feels something rumbling. So he says, get out, Perry, get out. And just before the TARDIS dematerialises. Then he goes and hides around the corner as, obviously, Rani has operated the TARDIS by remote control. Can't remember the word they used for it. But that's the one. So he overhears them plotting. And so then Rani and Master leave, and the Doctor fiddles with the Rani's console. Rani buries some mines in a wood, which is Redfern Dale, apparently, and Stevenson offers the Doctor a gun, and he says, no thanks, I've given them up, which I thought was very doctor.
That was great.
Very doctorish. Yeah. Perry seems to be quite a good botanist in this thing, and she works out that some herbs will help the situation they're in. And Luke
she carries those around for the next half an hour.
Yes, and Luke volunteers to take Perry down to Redferndale, where obviously the Rani and Master have sort of plotted. The Doctor will take that route where he needs to go. That's why they're planting these mines. So they go down to Redferndale to get some herbs. The Doctor's instincts tell him not to avoid going straight through it, and so he goes round the side and bumps into Rani and the Master, and wonders what's going on. Looks into the wood, and as Luke treads on a mine and is turned into a tree, Perry is oblivious to this particular event. And then the Doctor sees Perry because she gets grabbed by the tree, which I thought was quite funny. And the Doctor says, "Perry, the tree won't hurt you." I thought it was quite amusing.
You sounded just like him, you know.
And there are some apples scattered around, and Dorothy comes along and picks one up. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. So he forces Rani to go down and lead her out of the dell. A lot of this is padding, to be honest with you. It's not really relevant to the plot. But it was quite good.
But
it was quite... Because I was able to fast forward these bits and know what was going on. So she leads Perry... Well, that could be that as well. So she leads Perry out of the thing. What's she use as a threat? To threaten Rani? I can't remember what it was. Was it pointing the gun at the Master? Which I don't think that would have had much... Yeah, well, I don't think that would have had much an effect on the Rani, really. I don't think she really cares for the Master that much, to be honest with you.
Or the Master, because they were just regenerated. So.
Yeah.
There were several times when either the Doctor or Perry had the Master's shrinking device, and the Rani or the Master could have knocked it out of their hands quite easily, and they don't.
Yeah, that's true. Anyway, the thugs head for the dell, and the Doctor decides he must go and help stop them from walking straight through it, and leaves Perry. What a great choice that was to guard the two arch villains. And the Doctor is pretty quickly caught by the thugs and sort of strung up on a pole.
Yeah. That reminded me of Return of the Jedi with C-3PO.
That's right. Yeah. And Perry is quickly overcome by a bit of coughing by the Rani, who then throws some glitter in her face and she passes out. The Doctor is obviously his captors are turned into trees, and he's like strung up against these two trees like a sort of hammock type thing, and they start slipping towards another conveniently placed mine. But he manages to unhook his feet from his binding somehow, and he sort of escapes it and catches up with Perry in the mines, and he says, "Oh, we must try and get the Rani and Master into the Rani's TARDIS, and I'll tell you why later." Of course, they do go into the TARDIS anyway because there's some sort of rock fall thing, and once they're inside the console, she dematerializes and it sets off whatever trap the Doctor's laid for them, and these rather good little embryonic T-Rex props start growing into real ones, but they don't look so good when they actually start growing up. But when they're actually embryos, they do look quite effective. That's about it, really, isn't it? There's a bit of banter with Lord what's his name, and end of story. They go. So
that was the most succinct ending to that story ever.
Was it?
Yeah, so what happened is it got saved by a tree, then everything sorted out, it was fine.
Well, that's basically what happened, though, wasn't it? Yeah. So, before I go, which I'm just about to do so, I say, although this is written by Pip and Jane Baker, this is actually quite a good story.
Yeah.
I think Colin Baker is brilliant as the Doctor in everything. Obviously, apart from Twin Dilemma, but he is going through a regeneration crisis in Twin Dilemma. I love his portrayal of the Doctor. I think it's brilliant. I just that's probably why I enjoyed this most, because he's really, really good in this one. I'll allow you to carry on in your discussion. I just wanted to say that I enjoy Mark of the Rani. It's much better than Time in the Rani.
Thank you.
And I haven't seen Time in the Rani. So.
Me either.
So, listeners, I hope to be back later on. I will be back later on the show, because even if I can't connect whilst I go to Shanklin, Alicia says she'll be recording something this evening, so hey, well, that remains to be seen.
Yay.
Yeah, and Ben, before, don't forget to do the charts. Please feel free. It's only a top 20 this week because there was only 30 podcasts released during the week, so, and some of them weren't even in the iTunes chart. So it's a top 20 this week.
I hope that Ben's what he said on the radio last week made a certain podcast number one.
It didn't.
Anyway, darn. Anyway, I'll see you later. Bye.
Bye then.
Bye.
So, now he's gone, let's talk about things that we want to talk about.
Okay.
Yes, Simpson. There he is.
So when Adam
what
gets
happened?
Back... Adam called us all, and he kind of, when he ended his part of the call, it ended the whole thing.
That was a bit
he should
dim.
Have thought of that.
Yeah, he should have done. Oh, well, bit of editing for him.
I'm surprised someone with his technical knowledge, and actually I'm not, actually, I'm not surprised in that sense at all.
So what do we talk about now?
I reckon
about
Doctor
the
Who.
Charts.
Yes, we start with the chart, shall we?
Okay,
sure.
Let's do the
cue the
we'll
music.
Do, we'll do the chart. Do do
do do do do do
do do do. Called swinging cymbal, that by the way.
Is it?
Anyway, as Adam mentioned, yeah, we've only got 20 this week, and in all the times that I've been interested in music and charts, the presenter of the top 40 on a Sunday evening here in the UK. He's never turned around and said, we've only got 28 songs this week, so we can only do a top 28. So a little bit rubbish. We'll do a top 20. Starting at number 20, up 8 places, which means obviously there is life below number 20. It's the Gallica from France. Bonjour, let us talk about soccer. Let's see if we can find any garlic or anything else. That's got French things in Doctor Who. It hasn't. Goodbye, see you next week. That's what I take the Gallica from France for the... number 19, it's a re-entry for the DWO Torch cast. And at 18, up to for the Ha! Penis Patrol. Number
Yay.
17, up to... The bigger on the inside. And at number 16, a re-entry for the Who Nudes. At 15, it's up 5 for Ian Todd World. And at 14... A re-entry for Who Is The Man podcast. 13's up to...
Never heard of it.
What, Who Is The Man podcast? No, I've heard it's a little bit...
Who does that?
I don't know, a little bit on the shaky side, isn't it?
I don't know who does it. Oh, hang on, that's one of mine. Oh.
Not a lot of English in it. at 13, up to the Doctor Who, Who's He? And at number 12, up 1, The Staggering Stories.
What was that?
11's...
You dropped out.
Staggering
dropped
Stories.
Out.
Number
11.
Yes.
By the way, they at the very end of their episode, they think you're dead. Yeah.
I sent in a bit of funny feedback about that. You'll hear it next time.
Okay.
I can confirm, however, that you're not dead.
Oh, that's a plus.
Is it better?
It's a very sick parrot. At number 10, a non-mover. I wanted to do 11. 11's a re-entry for Radio Rassilon, and 10's a non-mover for the Pharos Project. 9 up 2 is the Doctor Who cast, and at number 8, a re-entry for Doctor Who Review Today. Number 7 is a re-entry for the Amiga podcast, and at number 6 is up 1 for Adventures in Time, Space and Music. Into the top 5, and still we haven't had the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. Five.
We must have dropped.
It's
we must have dropped off the bottom. Oh well.
Hey.
Oop! I can't hear him.
We must have dropped.
You can't hear me.
I can hear you too.
I can hear you too.
Okay.
Carry on.
Oh, do you mind? I love the way the top 20 is taking just as long as the top 30 normally would. Maybe Adam is integral to this podcast and keeping it moving. At number 5, up 1 for the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Woohoo!
Yay!
Oh, the wife cheered from the kitchen.
Wow.
She says
she must have
found a good
recipe. She must have cooked something successfully for a change.
Yeah.
What's that, darling? You burned it all. Okay. Number four is a re-entry for the Impossible Podcast. Number three, it's up one for DWO WhoCast. Number two, it's a re-entry for Radio Free Scaro, which means at number one, it's up two places for the Doctor Who Podcast. These charts never make any sense to me. I'm just confused. Because last week there was a number one, which now isn't even in the chart. There's no down 19 places and any other. It's just not in there.
Hmm.
I'm staggered. Staggered, I tell you.
Staggered stories.
Yes. Right, so, should we do some Doctor Who news, shall we?
Do we have any Doctor Who news?
Should we try and find some?
Okay, just give it a...
Oh, this is going to be really tricky.
Do a bit of searching.
I've got to try. There is some news, but the problem is, right, to look on the website that I normally go on for me Doctor Who news, that means I've got to go on the website, and the front page of that will be the results from Strictly Come Dancing last night and who got kicked out, and me and the wife haven't seen that yet. So I'm going to have to somehow try and navigate my way around that.
DoctorWhoNews.net.
Oh, yeah, but then we'll all be reading off the same thing, won't we?
Yes. Well, I've got a quote from Matt Smith.
Go on, then.
He says, I've really enjoyed it, but...
Geronimo!
Adam, I know how you feel. I've been really enjoying it, but hopefully we'll see a more action-y, adventure-y Doctor next season, said Matt Smith, on the next season.
Oh, that was nice and short from him.
What Reese is trying to do is reignite the season series.
No, I'm not. I'm not reuniting any.
Oh, I'm not even going
I'm
there.
Just saying the right word.
Seriously,
you did on Facebook.
I didn't. Everyone else was saying series mean season.
I ignored it. Anyway,
I'm ignoring it too. Hey, look, I've got some news about doctors. Apparently, Colin Baker is heading back into Panto next month for the Christmas season.
He did that a few years ago.
Oh, no, he didn't.
I walked into that one, didn't I?
That's a Panto joke for you, anyway.
I know. I walked into it, didn't I?
You did, yeah.
Oh, no, I didn't.
You did. If we just keep that going for the next 20 minutes or so, Adam might be back.
So, where is he?
Oh, no, he isn't. Oh, yes, he is. He's at Mansfield, which is here in England. Mansfield Palace Theatre playing the baddie in Jack and the Beanstalk.
Would that mean that he's the giant?
No.
I smell the blood of an Englishman.
No. He does make some comment about wanting to make children cry. Or something. And also, he's on. There's a programme, I don't know if you get this in the States and the Oz, but a program called Come Dine With Me, where you get people who go around each other's houses over five consecutive nights and have like a competition so you can entertain and cook the best food. And there's a celebrity version, which Colin Baker's appearing on as well, with, and tell me if you know these names, Linda Nolan.
Nope.
Obviously
nope.
Big around the world. Nope. She was in the Nolan Sisters, hence the name Nolan. Did a song called I'm in the Mood for Dancing. You probably won't know it. Bianca Gascoigne.
Who?
Yeah, okay. You know Gazza, the footballer. No, you won't know Gazza, the footballer.
No.
No, you won't. His sister, stepsister. No, wife, brother, daughter. Daughter, that's it, yeah.
Cousin.
Yeah, the one of the three, or something like that. Nick Bateman, who I believe used to be on Big Brother in this country, the first series. Nicknamed Nasty Nick, because he was I won't swear, because Adam won't edit it out. An idiot. And Danny Young. Who? Now, it gets bad when I don't even know who one of the people is in the English version of the programme, isn't it? Danny Young. No idea who that is. But anyway, Colin Baker's going to be doing that. It'll be on Channel 4 for people in England. What else can we tell you this week? What other news? Have you got any good news? Matt Smith is
let's see.
Doing something called Burton Dickey, which is... an Olympic type film where he's playing a rower who got a gold medal against all odds. I don't know if that means that they weren't using oars and they were just paddling with their hands and everyone else was using oars, because that would be pretty much against the odds you're going to win. That's one thing he's doing. And I saw something the other day that was quite interesting, but now I can't remember what it is. Oh, well. There's a unit box set coming out. I didn't know
that.
Go ahead. A unit box set with the Android Invasion and Invasion of the Dinosaurs, with lots of deleted scenes and all that kind of stuff. And Doctor Who is on the Radio Times Christmas cover, which is big news in this.
It seems to be always, every Christmas for some reason.
Yeah, it's... Oh, that was what the big news was in this country. You might have seen this. Actually, funny you say that, actually, because I'm just having a look now at all of the last Christmas editions of the Radio Times, and they've all got the Doctor on them for about the last 15 years. So, well, actually, six. I exaggerate time. But, yeah, no, the news that came out in this country this week, I don't know if this is spread around the globe yet, but Stephen Moffat, nice bloke, great writer, has confirmed that Doctor Who...
Yes, Toffee, MN.
Hey?
It's an anagram of his name, the Vast Toffee MN.
Right.
They came out with that on Staggering Stories.
Okay, I can honestly say I've never been bothered to try and work out anagrams of Stephen Moffat's name. Bothered? Yeah. Yes, it's been confirmed that in this country, Doctor Who isn't coming back after Christmas until autumn. So just as we've been suspecting for an awful long time.
We kind of suspected that, yes.
It's not the biggest news in the world, I'll give you that, but it has now been confirmed. So after Christmas, we're going to have to wait 9 months for a new episode of Stephen Moffat written Doctor Who, which some people say probably won't be worth the wait anyway. So. A little bit disappointed about that. But you can kind of get
obviously to get things geared up so that we will have the 50th anniversary in autumn.
Yeah, it's that, and also, you know, because it was obviously the anniversary of Doctor Who the other day, but it's also because, well, I could talk like that if you want to for the whole podcast, but I think people might get a little bit offended.
We should let Mr. Bean.
Yeah, thank you. God, I've completely lost my thread now. That was it. Yeah, they're basically saying it's because, and this is obviously what we've been saying for a long time, so you get more audience figures in the run-up to Christmas in the autumn to Christmas bit than you do Christmas to spring, because the days are getting lighter in the spring in this country, and therefore people tend to go out more. But in the other, you know, in the autumn to Christmas bit, nights are drawing in, people don't go out so much, and therefore you get bigger episodes, a bigger view of figures for Doctor Who, which is obviously what they're after. So, yeah, not massive news, but still... some news. This bit's going really well, isn't it?
Did anyone see the BBC One video for the Christmas season? Consider yourself one of us.
Consider yourself
at home. No, I haven't seen that, but I have seen just a little trailer of the Christmas episode with Bill Bailey in it. Are you aware of Bill Bailey?
Yes, we are.
I don't know, it's a small world.
We
QI
over here.
Oh, of course you do.
He's on that quite a lot.
Of course you do. Bill Bailey is a comedian who is also a fantastic musician. He's a very funny man, and he's one of the guest stars.
He even did a skit about Doctor Who.
Yes, yes he does, yes. He's very, very funny. I've got a couple of his DVDs myself. And, he's doing that. I've just found some... I think this is scraping the barrel, so I won't even mention that.
go on, we need this.
No, that's getting really, really, really low when I have to start mentioning. I've found a people roundup on Doctor Who News of what ex-Doctor Who people or current Doctor Who people are doing or have been doing recently. Shall we have a look at that? Okay, we'll start with Karen Gillan, who spoke to Jean Shrimpton, who she plays in BBC Four's forthcoming Will Take Manhattan, saying that she really enjoyed it. Excellent. That's news for you. John Barrowman apparently helped tackle a thief at Glasgow Hotel last week.
Oh, I heard that.
I saw that.
He said, "We heard this woman scream." Should I do it in his Scottish accent or his American accent? Or his mid-Atlantic accent?
Both.
Okay. "We heard this woman scream and shout, yes. Stop him! Stop him!" "We saw this young boy running over down the hallway. I grabbed his ankle and I'll tell him again." Okay. Basically, it all turned out all right. That was like Adam's ending after the Rani. Lots of story. It's fine. Bill Bailey's under strict instructions not to talk about his role in the Christmas special. So why is he giving an interview about it then? That doesn't make a lot of sense.
I don't know.
Also, Eve Miles was saying that they're not going to do any more Doctor Who and Torchwood crossovers, which I think is a bit of a shame.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But obviously that's an RTD thing, and
Moffat wouldn't be able to handle Torchwood well.
Well, keep your hands off Moffat. Keep your hands off Torchwood. Keep your hands off Eve Miles. Yeah.
I'll always keep my hands off Moffat.
I wouldn't keep my hands off it anyway. All the wife's behind me, can't. Nicola Bryant, as we were talking about her today. Oh, I'm just being told to be careful with my hand cream. Thank you, darling. That's really improved my masculine image on this podcast. Bye-bye. See ya. This is interesting news. We were talking about Nicola Bryant. And she's going to be performing in the Sound Power Orchestra's Christmas concert at the National Trust Gibside Chapel. What have we sung today? Seriously, come on, we've got to be able to do more stuff than this. We've been podgramming for a long time, and now we're talking about Nicola Bryant singing songs and stuff.
You do realise I didn't hear your opinion or Kirby's opinion of Margot the Rani, so why don't we just carry on with that?
You heard me say that I really liked it. Liked it.
Oh, is that all? No in-depth?
That'll do. And I thought it was all right. Okay, let's move on.
I thought it would have been okay if it weren't for the trees. That kind of, I kind of went, yeah, that's a bit naff.
Yeah, the trees were pretty much the monster.
Because
you
had
the villains in the Rani and the master, and then you had the monster in the trees.
Yeah. Although I did like the all three Time Lords playing off of each other. That was pretty good.
They could have done an episode called The Three Time Lords.
Haven't they done The Three Doctors?
They have, but not The Three Time Lords. It would be a different episode entirely.
Well, they are Time Lords, but that's true. You could...
Well, obviously I know they're Time Lords, as I've watched the series for more than 5 minutes. I'm aware of that. I thought it was quite a good episode. Series of episodes. Oh, no, not series of episodes. Season of
story.
Episodes. No, not season of episodes.
Story.
Cereal.
Yeah, and Siri. I'm talking about that. I haven't had my breakfast yet. It's nearly midday.
Cornflakes?
I need some Frosties. Cornflakes? No, Frosties. I've got back into it. This will be something very interesting that obviously Adam will definitely keep in the podcast. But I didn't used to eat cereal again. I went off eating cereal, but recently I've started eating it again. I do enjoy a bowl of Frosties in the morning. I eat it from a bowl that's from 1983.
Gosh.
Yes, it's a very old bowl.
It's older than me.
Yeah, older than you, yeah. And older than a lot of Peter Davidson adventures. I enjoyed the Mark of the Rani. I was glad that I called it out to watch it. It's been sat on my shelf of Doctor Who DVDs unwatched for a long, long time. And I thought last week, right, let's watch that. That'll be a good thing to watch. And I enjoyed it, yeah. I thought it was good. Colin Baker's top to his...
I anticipated that we might be seeing this one, and I acquired it about a month and a half ago.
Oh, really?
So... Yeah.
Well, that was very good.
I didn't really anticipate. No, it was one that I went when we were talking about. I think for some reason, Time in the Rani came up a few podcasts ago, and
yeah,
I don't think that one's available on DVD in the States yet, or is it? But Mark of the Rani was, so I got that one.
Ah, well, that's a lovely anecdote.
Whatever.
Yeah, no, I thought it was good. Colin Baker's Doctor is so different from what had come before, I wonder if that had an effect on, you know, if it, you know, the reason it got postponed and cancelled because of Colin Baker's Doctor. It was so different, wasn't it? I mean, you'd gone from Peter Davison, who was, you know, quite chilled out and thought logically about everything, to Colin Baker, who was just quite manic.
Oh, we've all become quiet.
I'm just reading things through now about Doctor Who that I wasn't, because on the 23rd of November, it was obviously the anniversary of Doctor Who, but do you know what else happened on the 23rd of November?
Nope.
I did my last radio show 2 years ago on the 23rd of November.
Oh.
Yeah, I know.
Hang on, I say I don't know what else happened on the 23rd of November. Kennedy got shot.
That's also one big thing that happened, but I'd say me not being on the radio for 2 years is slightly bigger than an American president being shot 40-odd years ago.
Hmm.
48 years ago.
Ah, look at this. All 9 series of Red Dwarf are available on Netflix streaming.
But it got cancelled and bought back 8 times? Oh, you mean seasons.
It says Netflix streaming has it listed Series 1, Series 2, Series 3.
Someone needs to go and edit Netflix that. They made a mistake. Oh, dear.
So,
it's like Wikipedia every now and again.
On the DVD... It says on the Red Dwarf DVD series.
Yeah, printed
not
in
season.
The UK, and you in the UK get it wrong.
And let's see what it says for Doctor Who for the same sort of thing.
Seasons.
It says, oh yeah, it says seasons.
Ha!
Blast.
Smug dad.
That's
smug dad
for the new Who.
I've just had a message.
Yes.
From Robert.
Have you?
Yeah.
Oh.
Shall we see if we can get him in? How can we get him in the call?
I'll give him a call. I'll try and add him.
You try and add him, and I'll just write, hi, back. I'm going to go and blow your nose. Hold on.
Okay.
This might need an edit.
Between Robert and Reese, which of you is further in the future?
Me.
Oh, God.
Reese is.
Because
okay.
Robert lives in Western Australia.
He's actually, yeah, and he's over East, which is Climbing. 3 hours ahead. Because you've got daylight saving time, haven't you?
So 3 hours in Australian time translates into 2.5 weeks back to England. So they're 5 weeks ahead of you, Kirby.
That's what I
that
thought.
Explains why you say series. You're stuck in the past.
Oh! All right, future boy.
That explains it all.
What does the BBC call it?
Doctor Who, normally. Well, look, hold on a minute. I'm looking, I'm sat on my sofa and I'm looking at my telly, which isn't on at the moment, but underneath my telly is the box set for the 4th series.
Printed in the
and
UK,
on the box
where they're stuck
series,
in the past and get it wrong.
The complete 4th series, it says.
Stuck in the past. Yeah, stuck in the
That's
past where they printed it wrong.
Too.
Yeah.
They haven't got it wrong, and hold on a minute.
They have printed it wrong.
Because what I'm going to do. I'm going to take a photo of the cover and I'm going to put it on Facebook right now.
Ah, excellent, excellent.
Just so you can all see. There you go, complete 4th series.
Yes, but guess what? It's printed in the UK and they get it wrong there.
And it's made in the UK by UK people.
And it's a TV show where it's a TV series made up of seasons.
Reese, they do the same thing with the box.
They ship them from the UK.
They want
yes,
them from
do.
The UK?
No,
oh, shit.
Don't.
Okay, gotcha. I thought we might need
well,
to
given
there.
Season 6, they do shit it, so.
Oh, dear. Oh, no. Now we're going to have to do lots of editing and stuff. There
I'm
we
just
go.
Just referring to...
Oh, no. Something slipped through before,
Ben.
Didn't it, Ben?
What? No, I didn't swear. I never swear. That wasn't me. That was incredibly... What that was because, obviously, the wibbly-wobbly timey-wimey that affects us all. I'd said something that you thought I hadn't, that I'd said differently, and obviously by the time it had reached you in the future or the past, it obviously the meaning of the word has changed, and it didn't mean what I meant it to mean.
And you know, I was stuck last week.
You what last week? Are you swearing there? Oh, stuck. Sorry.
No, no, no. I was thinking about Wendy Padbury all week.
You think that was...
What's that got to do? Oh.
Because of the mind robber.
Yes.
Yeah, but we talked about the mind robber, not her.
Just a certain scene.
Yes. What?
That enough.
Anyway, look, go to Facebook and you'll see the picture of the complete fourth series.
But it's printed in the UK season, where they get it wrong, so it's season.
Yes. Should we continue, Robert? With the... I see that Robert has been posting in the Facebook group Zoe's butt.
Zoe's. You've been posting in Zoe's butt.
Administrator of that. I'm co-administrator. I was added to it. Well, I saw it in Adam's list of likes, so...
Yeah. I'll be very careful what you join up through that.
Someone's got to go and make Amy's legs.
Sorry, I think my mum and dad did when they made Amy. Just...
Oh, yeah, did you? He just I clicked like just a second ago.
Yes. It just flagged up, so...
Only 23 people like this, though.
I know. But did you see my promotion of it?
Yes.
I've tried, so if anybody's listening...
Nobody listens to this podcast.
Go to Zoe's butt and like it. Because,
I don't think they need to go anywhere to like it. I think they can like it in the comfort of their own homes.
Zoe's butt. There we go. I'm liking it as we speak.
I'm sure you are.
It's a pretty good picture of it too, isn't it?
I might create a page, actually. Should we create a page live?
You realise I've just seen Kirby Butler Stone like Zoe's butt, followed by Ben Shoveler like Zoe's butt.
You're all on there. Adam Pearson, Kirby, Reese, Robert, you're all on there. You're all lovers of Zoe's
ten
butt.
People
you're all butt
like
lovers.
It. Oh, 10 friends. 24 people like it, that's it.
Oh, yeah, 24 people in total. And there's four of them here.
Only
plus
seven
Adam.
Of my friends like it. I need to find out.
Eight of mine do.
Yeah, that's strange.
Dear God.
Right, let's see if we can make another page.
I think we're killing Robert. He's busy giggling away there.
Artist public.
It just makes me up. Hopefully, people will check it out though. Either on their DB or the Facebook page.
All right.
Are you? Did you like that?
I think
that
I liked
page,
it a while ago.
Reece?
You posted it in just about every group I'm a member of.
Ah, yes. I know. I put it everywhere. So.
I thought that I had clicked like on it several weeks ago, and apparently I had not. Ben, have you got any feedback?
If you go to there is actually. If you go to the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast page. Have a look at updated posts, and Reese Parton has written, I've really been enjoying it. Hopefully we'll see more action-adventure-y Doctor next season. Matt Smith on next season, and note,
so
he says
Robert.
The correct word, season. And apparently there's like 44 comments.
47 comments.
Yeah. 47 is in, my God.
These people. It could just be one.
And it's just... It's this argument about series or season.
Reese has been going on commenting since... just 3 minutes ago. My goodness. Give it up, man.
No, because I'm not going to start saying the wrong thing. You give it up, man.
I'm not going to start saying the wrong thing either.
I said 14 minutes ago, I give up.
And I expect the correct vernacular whenever you refer to a season. Yes.
In your teacher's
I'm not
voice.
Quite a teacher yet, so I need to work on that. Ooh.
Ooh.
Now, we got... There is a bit of Ian Kirk commentary down here. He says, I have the BBC DVD of The Mark of the Rani and have just watched episode one. Notice that she tests...
You've just read it.
Oh, I've just found some... I've just found a page which Ben has created.
Oh, has he created a page now? Uh-huh.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
I will just...
No, but I can tell what it is. It. That's why he's so quiet.
Yeah, why is he so quiet?
I'll just post it on the 20 megabyte page.
Not what I thought it
okay.
was.
Okay.
Don't. Don't post it.
No, I just have
oh,
two lines.
Dear God.
Oh, dear.
Right, well, I've just made it.
You just said?
Yes, we noticed.
I've just made a new page.
And something
for,
else.
For Doctor Who podcast fans to join. And also...
I think you'll get a lot on that one.
People who...
And quite timely considering it's Mark of the Rani.
Speaking of Mark of the Rani, what did you think?
Yes.
I quite like it, actually. And you can tell it was pretty cold earlier on in the episode as well. Speaking of that page that has just been created.
Have you found my page already, have you?
Yeah.
My main problem with it, Robert, was the fact that it was really good until we saw the trees, and I thought, yeah, that's a bit...
I know. And did you love that line when it says... The tree won't hurt you.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
And then the tree stops hurting her.
The tree would also have hurt her if the tree had fallen over.
Yeah, precisely. I mean, it could have wood rot or something and could have just fallen on her.
But it was its birthday.
Well, I don't know. But one thing that they did get a bit wrong was that they were on their way to Kew Gardens, and Kew Gardens wasn't open in the 1820s. And also, Edison...
They didn't say they were on their way to the Edison. Kew Gardens at that time period. They do have a time machine.
A time period. And also, other things, Luddites never attacked pit machinery because they didn't threaten their livelihoods. And also, you remember the volcano, that painting? Why didn't they just go out of the room?
Yeah, I was wondering about that.
You know, and did they say it was mustard gas?
Yes.
I mean, doesn't that sort of do anything on contact? And they seem to be breathing a lot of it in.
Mm. And I believe it blisters the skin as well.
Yeah, so... bit questionable, isn't it? But
that must have been the part that Pip and Jane had ridden that was not rewritten.
I think maybe the reason they didn't make everyone who was hit by the mustard gas's skin start to flake and blister and pus on children's TV programs during the 1980s.
Hey. But remember Resurrection of the Daleks, that guy that got gassed?
True. Yeah, that's true.
That was pretty graphic, and that was Eric Saywood's doing. He was still scripted.
And remember also in that other episode where that bloke got shot 47 times and his head actually exploded on screen, covering everyone else in... Oh, no, that wasn't Doctor Who, was it?
Night of the Living Dead, no, oh, yeah. One thing I thought was good was the introduction of the Rani. But doesn't she look a bit weird now, Kate Amara?
I don't know the difference.
Does anybody...
Well, you weren't born when this was made.
No. But if you have I think it's time on the Rani they've got... I'm not sure whether they've got any interviews with her on Mark of the Rani or whether she's just on the commentary. But in the Time of the Rani DVD, she looks like an old woman who's sort of been... had her facial skin stretched. She looks very odd.
She looks odd even in this particular story. Like she had a facelift before she even started all this stuff.
Probably, yeah, I'd say so. But she did a good performance, I think, as the Rani. Yes. And Anthony Ainley, he was quite restrained as well in this story. I think he and the Rani worked sort of well
I
together.
Like the...
He sort of didn't
I
ham
like
it
the
up.
Anthony Ainley master. I haven't seen a lot of... lot of Roger Delgado to be able to compare. But Anthony Ainley was the first... master I saw.
Which one played off Tom Baker?
Yes, yeah. So Anthony Ainley did.
Because Delgado...
As well as Peter Pratt in...
Delgado died during the third Doctor during Pertwee's era, and that was part of the reason why Pertwee decided to move on.
Yeah, because you know, what with Jo Grant leaving, well, Katie Manning leaving, the old team
Katie Manning had a Dalek to go have a rendezvous with.
Yes.
Oh, let's go make
that page that Ben could create.
No, I've made one this morning. I don't think I can make another one just yet.
But when you're on Facebook, Facebook may not like that one.
Make sure that you check out next time on Facebook, Nicholas Norks.
You can find it on the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Have you put it on there already? Have you?
Yeah.
Yes. Hey. So that's easy enough for people to find.
And I've also
well.
made a link to it from the Zoe's Butt page as well.
Oh, excellent. The more the merrier.
Well, I prefer just the two, really, when we're talking about
Nicholas. But
how come
only two people like it so far? I mean, I'm a bit disappointed in that.
Don't be disappointed.
I like it. I like how it says about Nicola Bryant.
Well, I was going to write tits,
but
I thought...
How far did Adam have to drive to deal with these
dogs?
I've
got no idea.
I don't think it's the point of how far he had to drive, because if we remember, the Isle of Wight is only 2.5 miles long by 36 feet wide. And so, therefore, he's walked around the island 54 times by now. The reason he's taking so long is because all of the dog hair has been blown into the sea. And if it all stays there for too long, then obviously lots of ocean liners and oil tankers will crash into the Isle of Wight, destroying the island, meaning no more podcasts.
Hey, come on, guys. Why don't we have more likes? There's only two
likes.
I know.
Come on, everyone. Search Nicholas
they
Norks.
They can't at the moment. Yeah. It's not a live show.
Live.
I might add some more pictures. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to add some more pictures to Nicholas Norks.
You need to find the regeneration scene.
Oh, God, yes.
Where
yeah.
Where the Fifth Doctor is...
Davison.
Has a very good view.
It feels different this time.
Ah,
yes,
yes, yes.
I bet they do.
I'm amazed he remembered his lines.
I can't concentrate on what I'm going to be saying. Norks in the face.
I wonder if we'll see the Fifth Doctor like in that page.
I wonder
if we'll see the Fifth Doctor like in that page soon.
Hey, you know, when he came over here to Perth, they did a show and he was saying that one thing about Perry's costumes was
they
that Nicola was always cuddling up to him, so they always got to share a coat together.
I'm sure he did.
So he enjoyed that. He enjoyed that very much. Yes.
Well, that's one good thing about being the Doctor, I suppose, isn't it? Right, we have now added more photos to the Nicholas Norton album.
Let me see.
Oh, I've just seen that.
There are now four photos on there.
What did you add under info? Ooh, you got the regeneration one.
Yeah, as requested. As requested.
You take requests now, do you?
Lucky dog.
My favourite one is the signed photo, however.
Yeah,
I like that one.
Blimey, that's...
Yes, you're a bit young to be looking at some of these,
yeah,
aren't
well,
you?
Yeah, you posted on such a...
What's that other one from? The...
I've got...
How do you spell four? Yeah.
PH. See, that one's not very big, is it? That one needs to be bigger.
Something you say all the time.
Oh, that one's nicer. That one is much better.
Yeah.
So proud of us.
We just lowered the tone of the podcast.
Yeah. Trying to find people.
Oh, yes, that one does need to be bigger.
What was that? Would you mind repeating?
So that one's quite nice. I might have to put that one as well. What?
I mean, she doesn't need to be any bigger, but the picture needs to be a bit bigger.
This does put Zoe's butt web page into insignificance, doesn't it? The amount of photos that have been. Well, that was a good one. We'll have to have that one as
definitely.
Well.
I must scan the internet for more photos.
Well, do feel free to add away as much as you like. There's some more coming in a minute.
Yeah, well...
Ah!
Ew! And Reese is... Reese has just added something in the Who's the Man
say something podcast. About that.
Says, this podcast likes to use the correct English words. Season, not series.
Oh, come on! You guys go...
It is your own podcast, Reese.
It's not
so
that is my own podcast. It says it's the correct word to use. The BBC are wrong. Adam's back!
He's back.
Adam's back!
Adam's back!
The podcast is saved!
We've been naughty boys.
From
do you need to add him?
I'm doing it now.
There he is.
I'm telling on you guys. Adam.
I didn't do anything.
These
Hello.
Boys have been very naughty, and Robert's with us.
They've been naughty. Why am I not
you
surprised?
You have a lot of editing.
Ben, what's the page you just made?
Adam, you...
Yeah.
Ben's just made a new page.
Yeah, Adam's just made a new page.
Wait, is Adam there? Ben,
yes, I'm here. You're... I'd like to know...
Oh, there he is.
I'm not going to ask what you've done to be naughty, but I just want to say I'm not surprised.
Mm-hmm. Go on Facebook and you'll see what I'm talking about.
Oh, I'm not going to risk it.
Not the...
Have a look at that.
Anything to make like... with the silly argument that some people have started about series or season.
Yeah, I will do. I'm not going to risk it with this computer and the fact that I'm sat in the old place in Shanklin where we used to have cars going past, because, as you'll probably hear in the background, there's cars going past, funny enough. So, yes, I've had a very stressful last 50 minutes... I was driving along the road and this car pulled out of a garage around a blind corner. I had to slam the brakes on. Magic then hit the dashboard. I think he's all right, but he was quivering like mad afterwards. He wasn't very happy about it, obviously, so he's all stressed out. I've had to drop him off at a place he hates, which is getting his haircut. He hates having baths haircuts, so he's proper stressed out, so I'm feeling really sorry for poor old Magic. Star's fine, she just sat on the back seat. She didn't seem to move at all when I slammed the brakes on. It's just magic that, you say, he hit the dashboard side on, but like I say, I checked him over, he seemed to be fine, he didn't, he was just shocked by it, shaking and stuff. So, pardon?
All teeth?
No, it didn't hit his face, it just hit his bum, I think. But yeah, so that one very nice. Ow. Idiot. And ironically, a police car sort of came in the opposite direction a split second too late to see the idiot who pulled out, So, yeah, so that one very good. And then, I've been driving around Shanklin
Bloody
trying
Isle
to find the
drivers.
Strongest 3G signal available. It seems to be here. So hopefully we won't drop out. So, hello!
Hello.
Hello. So what have I missed in regards
to
proper content to the podcast?
Nicholas.
Nicholas Norx.
You don't want to know.
No, I meant proper content to the podcast.
That's all it's been.
Yes.
What do you mean proper content?
Proper content.
There's now
content.
Five photos.
We are talking about Mark of the Rani.
Four.
Norx. Mark of the Rani had Nicola Bryant.
Somewhat.
Some
cool. So, have we done the charts yet?
Yes, we have.
Oh, good. Have we
done
any?
We've done the charts.
For the most amount of editing you have to do for this episode.
Oh, I always have to do a lot of editing.
You're going to have a lot of editing.
Well,
it'll
probably come out tomorrow then if I have to do a lot of editing, because I've got to record with Alicia apparently tonight. I can't guarantee that, but we have to try these things. So have we done any feedback, email feedback?
Just make sure Alicia has a lot of pizza.
She won't have pizza. Not in the evenings, no.
Yeah.
No, she won't. Yeah. She only has
then
pizza on Fridays or when she's off school. Oh, it's gone all quiet.
Okay.
Oh.
what's that one that starts with P
Pepperami.
That Isabella likes? Palma, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's nice. It's very... It's,
it sounds
it
nice.
Is, if you like that sort of thing. Anyway, right. So, Ben,
ever
have you... Do you
appeared in Doctor Who?
I hope not. Ben?
Really?
Yes?
Do you have any emails I forwarded to you?
Yes.
Would you be able to? Didn't I?
Didn't forward me any.
Yeah, I asked
I
him
think
earlier.
I did.
He doesn't have any.
What?
I'm pretty sure I forwarded.
I don't think you did.
He's been busy creating pages.
That doesn't surprise me.
And when?
Okay. Earlier on in the week.
I've got one. I've got one about the mind robber.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, no, we
that,
do
that
get
was sent on the 23rd of the.
Yeah, that'll be it then. Try that one.
That'll be the last one I got from you. That email, by the way, is in my inbox, just above an email saying your job application to be Santa.
Cool.
I applied to be Father Christmas in our local shopping centre last week.
And you're a bit tall.
Well, just make sure. Just make sure that's not one we've already done.
What, being Father Christmas? No, I've never been Father Christmas before.
No, the email.
About last Christmas, obviously.
Robert, are you recording this, by the way?
Yes.
Oh, well, that's good then. Just wanted to make sure. Carry on.
We're all recording.
No, you've got...
Anyway, Adam.
Yeah?
Who's this from?
Should I carry on?
Yeah, who's it from?
Who's it from?
I'll tell you who it's from at the end.
All right, go on.
You put someone's name at the end.
All right. I just want to make sure we haven't already had it. That's all. Carry on.
Okay, it's from KP Williams.
Kevin Williams. Yes, yes, Kevin Williams. I've heard. Kevin Williams.
No, he's from Swansea, not Pakistan.
All right, carry on.
There's a vast difference in the accent. Anyway, it says, "Hello, Adam and friends, and your charming family, including Magic and the incredible Bat King Tom."
That's not an Indian accent.
Adam, get ready to edit. There's going to be an expletive file.
No, there isn't going to be an expletive.
Just to give you expletive warning.
What, fight off? Oh, expletive.
Anyway.
Anyway, yes.
I'm still looking at my pictures of Nicola.
I'm sure you are.
I'm just fired off.
Hey.
Can I have a wet one? I need to just clean my screen. It's a bit dirty. I can't see the email anymore. Anyway. That's the noise the wife makes. Anyway, I'm very glad the youngster's rated the mind robber so highly. It's a classic story. He's lost his Welsh accent, you may have noticed. And he's also no longer from Hyderabad or Mumbai.
Pakistan.
I'm glad you rate the mind robber so highly. It's a classic story from the golden age of Doctor Who. Well, being as I am a child of the 60s, I'm slightly biased. Black and white seems to be so much better than colour and crap.
A lot of things are better than crap.
That's what my daughter used to do when she was 3. That's all she used to do, colour and crap.
I'm getting one of my headaches.
Behave, Ben.
For a while, Adam.
What makes it even funnier is
just wait.
I was going to say, what makes it funnier is your reference to the last hour that we've just cobbled together. You've got a headache now, mate. You wait till Thursday when you've finished. Anyway, I remember the story quite well. Brackets, not bad for a senile 54-year-old. I was 11 years old when the story was aired way back in 1968. I didn't think much of the white robots, but I remember being terrified by the clockwork soldiers for some reason. Well, it was the 60s. Perhaps I was smoking something other than my mother's number 6 tip cigarette, which I used to lick when she wasn't looking. What do you remember? Goodness me. Anyway, my earliest memory...
What's he sound like now?
Well, he then goes on to say, my earliest memory of Doctor Who, which I'm expecting him then to say is David Tennant, if he was smoking what he was, shouldn't have been smoking back in the 60s. But my earliest memory of Doctor Who is the web planet, mainly because I remember my dad constantly complaining about the irritating noise emitted by the...
Oh, yeah, I agree. Terrible. One of the reasons why I hate that story.
That is quite an irritating noise.
Yeah.
Having recently watched a DVD, I can see where he was coming from, and so I can issue a posthumous apology to him. Sorry, Dad. All the best, mate. Love the show. It just keeps getting better. And Ben, you're right about Moffat. Hurrah! And hallelujah! And stuff like that.
Hurrah! Hurrah! Huzzah!
Kevin Williams.
Kevin Williams. So you didn't get my... Thank you for that, but you didn't get the email from Richard Culp about Mind Robber then, because there was another one from him.
Oh, I may have done. Let's have a look. I've got someone asking me if I know where someone is about a job. Email from my...
Stop swearing.
yes, I know job. I've got an email from my German pen friend.
Stop being so rude.
I agree with Reese.
I'm sorry. Oh, no, oh, goodness me. I've got an email from Debbie Pearson asking me to be her friend on Facebook, which I haven't replied to yet. How rude.
Oh, I sent that from on her behalf.
I've got something... What? Where's that one? Got one.
Did
from
you have
Robert.
A good night out, Adam?
Pardon, Robert?
You have a good night out.
No,
the time over the weekend.
The limousine night was all right, apart from Isabella vomiting in the back of the limousine.
Your mum enjoyed it.
My mum enjoyed it, and then we were supposed to have quite a night alone in a hotel night, but Isabella was ill, so we'd stayed at home instead of having a night in a hotel and eat as much as you like breakfast, which we were supposed to have on Sunday morning. And then, funnily enough, on Sunday, she was perfectly all right and went to a party, so there you go. Missed out there.
That is not fair.
No, it isn't. I'm very... I like Travelodge, eat as much as you like breakfasts.
Email from Richard Culp last week.
Well, not did what? We? No, we kind of done. This is dated the 23rd of November. So we hang on. I'll just check
the 3rd of November.
23rd.
That's what. 23rd of November.
I'll just check it.
23rd.
The 23rd of November. Yes, something happened 48 years ago on the 23rd of November.
I did point out. I did point out to my wife that her birthday is the day after the 8th anniversary of Doctor Who. She wasn't particularly impressed by that particular statistic. Anyway, right. No, Richard Culp.
Statistic to have.
This is Richard Culp.
I've just found a posting. I've just found a posting from Ian Kirk on the. I think it's the podcast website.
Well, I'm still on Nicholas Knox.
Yes,
I have the BBC DVD of Mark of the Rani, and I've just watched episode one. I noticed that the Rani tests to see if the Doctor is Gallifreyan by listening to his chest. Later, she checks Perry by taking her pulse.
Yeah, I remember that.
I wouldn't check her chest.
Did you see what I write?
No, I didn't. What did you write?
No.
Well, have a look under it.
Ah, for God's sake.
Now I check her chest.
That means I'm going to have to click another link. Now I check her chest. If you put your head against Perry's chest to check her heartbeat, you would get an earful.
Right, anyway, shall I read this email from Richard Culp? No?
Yep.
Yes, right, okay.
No.
For goodness sake. Number one, the opening episode. This obviously money-saving episode, as well as rushed. Sorry, it's a very small type, because I'm reading it off my iPhone. This rushed addition to the story is one I thought would very well lift the mood and the story they were creating. The strange robots in that featureless environment helped to set the stage for the mind-bending story we got in the next four episodes. A mere fact that the TARDIS went outside of time and space and ended up here was brilliant stroke of writing, and I believe worked so well that it left the viewer pondering what was to come. It was completely alien and very gracefully, and had the viewers prepared for anything anything as reality was, for all purposes gone. It didn't exist. The way all of the main cast was mentally being attacked even had us wondering if this was all happening in the mind of the Doctor, Jamie and Zoe. Was anything really real? Add the destruction of the TARDIS as a cliffhanger and you can see why I think this is one of the best opening episodes. Done up to that time. I see somebody did actually post was it you, Robert, who posted an actually superb picture of
yes, of, perhaps I did.
Yes, well done.
Courtesy of Joe Rodney.
That was one of the best things you've ever done on the 20 megabyte group, so thank you very much for
Adam, if you have a look on the 20 megabyte podcast, there's an absolutely fabulous Nicholas Norks page that is waiting for your viewing.
Thank you.
And an even more fabulous one that I haven't posted yet.
Thank you. I'll be getting letters from Facebook very soon, I suspect.
No, page I haven't posted yet.
Oh, I do like my picture of the signed picture of Nicola Bryant. That's my favourite one.
Yes, I'd say so, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Well, that's my favourite too, actually.
Richard continues. The fake Jamie, sheer brilliance in writing to deal with the real-life problem. I doubt a better solution could have been created, and they were very fortunate that the story would allow for this to take place. It was delightful to see Troughton get upset at making the mistake of putting Jamie's face together wrong, and then later act so calmly and even say to the unknown enemy, "Come on, where is it?" as he could redeem himself and put Jamie back to his proper self. Number three... Okay, now some of the weaker stuff. The carcass, this was perhaps the weakest element of the story. Everything we see is fantasy brought to life and was done quite well up until the carcass. I cannot find fault with the idea of having a fantasy element from the future, but the idea did not really come across that well. It was flat for me and I cannot see how it could have been improved. Eh? Oh, yeah, that's what he says. I cannot see how it could have been improved. Anyway, in hindsight, I realised...
Wendy Tapering got to fight.
Yeah.
Didn't she?
Oh, yeah, it was, I agree. In hindsight, I realised that every other fairy tale we meet is one we can find in the real world. They are established fictional characters that we can read about outside of Doctor Who. This makes them more believable. The carcass does not share this quality. He is a fictional element created to be paired up with Zoe and to have a stretch to stretch our mind to accept him and as an equal to the others. This is the main problem we have with him. The
so fight... that's because he's a fictional character in a fictional series.
Correct. The fight scene with Zoe was another distracting part of the story.
Fictional?
Don't say that!
It's real!
Hang on. How many times have I told you not to upset Kirby? He could beat the carcass.
I'm the one that right.
Yeah, I'm not crying.
Yes, she could beat the carcass as she saw him as a fictional and not real, but the fighting could have been done better and more believable. Like I said in last week's episode, she was supposed to stamp on his throat.
She's
so
only 5'2", isn't she, though? Come on. Yeah.
I could not help but recall the moment in the Matrix movies when you see Neo flying through the air. Yes, it is possible you can shape events. Yeah, you can shape events and be in control of what happens. But my mind cannot truly, as of right now, come to grips with what is being seen. Please note that while I may sound like I am bashing this part of the story, I'm not. It is just a weaker element of the story that I have a harder time digesting and enjoying. Number four. This is quite long, isn't it?
That's fair enough.
The human plot hole, as far as I could tell, the master computer and the storyteller he had controlling the land of fiction was seeking another mind to take over as controller. I honestly do not recall if it was stated that a human was needed, but when you look at the Doctor, you can tell he is not human. How could the computer or storyteller tell he was alien? Even if they could, I doubt that would matter. A mind was needed to replace the aging master. While this may settle the part of the plot hole, the huge problem left is why the master computer wants the Earth. For what purpose? If I remember right, that's what I said. I said, why is it the Earth? If I remember right, the master computer wants to bring all the humans over to the land of fiction so the Earth is free to be used for its unknown objective. This huge unanswered question has left us pondering the whole purpose of the computer and the land of fiction. To those who watch and also seek answers, it leaves us unfulfilled to a small degree. Another Troughton story had a similar problem, the Macra Terra. While not based in fiction, I've only heard it because it's only available in audio, isn't it?
And the book.
Yeah, I haven't read the book. I did hear that. I have heard the audio version of it. While not based in fiction, this lost story is plagued by unanswered questions that pull down my enjoyment. Unfortunately for the mind robber, the unknowns are... Sorry about that. The unknowns are not as severe. Those are my thoughts on the Mind Robot, and I would rate it 4 out of 5. I am not sure if I will have anything for the next podcast. Time and the Rani. It wasn't Time and the Rani.
Mark of the Rani.
I better read on what he says.
The things on their necks.
I might be jumping the gun here. Time and the Rani, I have not seen in well over a decade, and I'm currently in the Patrick Troughton era. A fan on YouTube has just osted his reconstruction. Posted his reconstruction of the missing story, Power of the Daleks, one of my favourite stories from his era.
Power of the Daleks?
And certainly,
I've just read Power of the Daleks.
And certainly a strong contender for the best Dalek story ever done. Keep up the great work. Thank you,
and
Richard.
Evil of the Daleks. Yeah. Evil of the Daleks is good as well.
It is, yes.
I am your servant.
Yes, I know you are, but we'll just have to get on with the podcast
for the
time being.
That's the power of the Daleks. That's the power of the Daleks.
Yeah, so that's Richard Culp again. A great bit of feedback there.
Well done. Yep.
Right. So
I think he covered that pretty well.
He did indeed. Most of what we said, but very articulate in the way he presented his points. So. Right. So there's something else.
The fact that he watched it when it was originally broadcast.
Really, mustn't talk over each other.
Yeah. Sorry, Reese.
No, I'm sorry, Robert. You started before me.
Anyway, stop talking over each other.
Yes, thank you.
Oh, Ben's there.
What we need is Dalek lights.
What?
There you go.
Yeah? I was going to say, I bet you I'm doing something right now that none of you have ever done.
You've added more photos, haven't you?
No, I haven't.
You have.
For the first time in 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast history... Whilst we are recording
the podcast,
prepare
the bleep button.
Oh, you just added more photos.
You, yes,
I
yes.
am making a casserole.
Oh, what?
Can you cook, Ben?
Yes.
Don't be so surprised, Robert.
Yes, I. At the moment, the kitchen is rather covered in flour and meat.
Oh,
sounds
lovely.
Rude.
Oh, please.
Ow.
No, Nicola Bryant's tits sound rude.
It's the meat. It's meat from a space whale from Torchwood, right?
Well, that or Asda.
Anyway, I was just trying to see if... Oh, yeah,
Adam,
some...
this is what this episode has been the whole time you've been away.
Yes, I don't know, you must be all on something, although it's just one of those funny days today.
I'm on a lack of sleep.
Has anybody got access to a computer that they can actually leave the Skype
yes.
page to? Because,
yes, I've got access to a computer.
Could somebody type in?
No, none of...
Oh, it's gone all quiet.
What do you want to check?
Yeah. Where somebody could please type in www.whoone.co.uk because they have very kindly renewed their sponsorship and I haven't had the opportunity to check their website on air.
Whoone.co.uk, right?
By the way, you don't need the www.
Oh, all right.
Okay, Doctor Who book specials.
No, you could just say yes. www.
Do you want the latest products, do you?
Latest products. Yes.
It's got an astronaut figure, and it looks like it's got interchangeable heads. So I think that's a interchangeable river head. It's £9.99. We've got a gang of 11 Doctor.
Heavy.
£9.99.
£9.99, okay?
Woo! Calm down. Don't get steady on, boys.
It's got a ganger doctor with interchangeable head, ganger head.
Ooh,
a supposable figure.
Yes.
We've also got 11th Doctor, which I don't think is posable, but it's got a ganger head as well.
Yes.
Latest issue of Doctor Who magazine, number 441, which is the Christmas special one.
Yes.
That's my
favourite. A new... What do they call it? Big Finish Witch from the Well audio CD, as well as a Companion Chronicles.
Tell us the price of that one in pounds and pence.
That's £14.99 for the Witch from the Well.
Now, would these postage amounts
£1.50
sending them either into the past where I am or into the future where Reese and Robert are?
No, you can't send it into the future.
I wish I bought some ibuprofen with me. I really do.
Oh.
I'm just kind of waiting until there's some Doctor Who.
Okay, do you want some coming soon products?
Yeah, why not? Have we not already done coming soon?
I'm looking at the pictures of Perry right now.
I would like to...
We've got... Are there lots of audio?
What was that great big...
You didn't hear, Ben, did you?
Did he just fart?
No.
No, he said something rude.
Very rude.
Oh, I didn't hear it, so my ears are untainted.
I don't want to hear it.
Of great interest, too, coming up from Big Finish next year, do you remember the Foe from the Future, the story that was Robert Banks Stewart wrote that was changed into Talons of Wang Chiang?
No.
They've actually done Foe from the Future and releasing it as a lost story of the Fourth Doctor along with another one in the new year, which,
excellent.
If you're a fan of that.
Yeah.
Oh, they've got a Red Dalek soft toy, which would be good for Isabella.
Yes. I've seen these soft toys. There's also a TARDIS soft toy.
Ah, and what sounds really cool, we've got a special effects key fob, which is which goes in your key ring, which has a sonic screwdriver sound, a canine sound.
No, you don't need them. You just get them on your phone.
TARDIS and a Jadoon gun.
A TARDIS and a what?
And a squeezy.
Yeah, I was about to say the same thing.
Yeah, well, there you go. A squeezy adipose, which I think have been out. Haven't they been out?
Yeah,
before?
They've been out for a while, yes. I know. Yeah. I am tempted by the cuddly Dalek, I must admit. But there you go. Sorry, I'm just sidetracking.
For yourself or for Isabella?
No, for the car, because the trouble with having Doctor Who items in the car, my wife keeps breaking them by getting annoyed and chucking stuff.
Oh, you can't break that, can you?
Well, I've got a
that's unbreakable.
Character Options TARDIS, which is like a Lego TARDIS, and she keeps on occasionally getting wound up by Alicia and throwing stuff at the windscreen, which then deflects off the windscreen and rather cunningly connects with my Lego stroke Character Options TARDIS, which ends up in bits. This happened when we went up to see Take That a few months ago, and we lost one part of the team. She had to buy me a new one. She has a large history of petulance, which to my detriment, just like to point out. So there you go. Sorry,
which
carry
seems
on.
Seems to extend to, yeah, Doctor Who.
And hopefully she doesn't listen to this podcast and hear you say things.
Oh, she's lovely.
There'd be no chance of that.
She knows. She knows she's got a temper, bless her. But her good points
has
outweigh
ever
about
becoming a javelin thrower in the Olympics.
No. I think if she
doesn't throw a lot of stuff about,
she doesn't look anything like she doesn't look anything like Fatima Whitbread. But yeah, she's so lovely.
I've been recording for an hour and 45 minutes, and I'm beginning to run out of time here that I can stick with you guys if I need. Since I need to put this one so that Adam can.
Well, that's
edit
all right. We're running. We're
somehow figure out a way of.
We're running out of time, full stop, Kirby. But I'm going to try and access Ian's audio feedback before we go. Just hope this works.
Oh, cool.
We've got a time machine. How can we be short of time?
Well, I've got to try and play this over the car's.
Because
Debbie's broken it.
No, she does have a tendency to break things. Bless her. But she's so lovely, it's unbelievable. Oh, here we go, it's going to load it, hang on. I wonder if it's going to play it, that'd be great, wouldn't it? If I can actually get some technical thing to work in this car. TARDIS, sorry. It's trying to load it.
Hello, 20 Mile Mark Podcast. Do I look like a man who would wreck machines? A belated happy birthday to Debbie. The Mark of the Rani by Pip and Jane Baker. Overseas listeners will need closed captions, subtitles for this story. I like the Rani. She was only in two stories. This one has Perry, and the other one has Mel, so I like this one. We have mistreated miners again. Pantomime trees, like last week. The Master likes being in disguise, and so does the Rani. When the Rani wants to check if the Doctor is Gallifreyan, she listens to both sides of his chest. Later, she checks Perry by taking her pulse instead. Why do the mines sound like tribbles? Why do they turn people into pantomime trees? Do they become wooden actors? Do they take a bow? Is their bark worse than their bite? I hope recurring 20-megabyte character Robert Haynes is with us today. I hope Sylvester Stallone does not play the Doctor if they make a film. I hope Graham Norton does not play the companion if they make a film. I wonder if the TARDIS somehow gave Colin Baker's hair to River Song. It will soon be Christmas. Bye for now.
Mana, mana. Mana, mana. Manor Manor. Manor Manor. Manor Manor. Manor Manor.
Oh, stop it!
Mana
mana. Mana
mana. No, no,
I've got a funny feeling the final edited version of this podcast could end up being about 3 minutes
Five
long.
Minutes.
I've got a funny feeling the edited version of this podcast. The edited version of this podcast will end up being about 3.5 minutes long.
You know,
or
I've got the funny view.
I have a feeling that the final edited version of this podcast will be about 3.5 minutes
Or if I can't get everybody's audio file, it might not happen at all because these things happen in. So it will just be a long chat about nonsense for the. Anyway, sorry, Kirby, I'm interrupting you. Carry on.
I'm going to have to stop this recording and convert it to MP3.
Thank you.
To where you can get it, so I will talk to you guys.
Thank
next
you, Kirby.
Week.
Okay, what episode is next week?
I haven't looked down your list of what you've got yet. I'll make a note of it at the end of the show.
What about the two doctors? Because Vengeance on Varus was only a couple of weeks ago.
We can't do two Colin Baker stories. We can't do two Colin Baker stories.
Vengeance on Varus and this. This follows on from Vengeance on Varus.
That's a funny order of doing it. It's going backwards, isn't it?
Did you know that, though? Did you realise that, though?
When you can get no comment. I don't know.
That's a no, then.
Well, I don't know. Has everybody got two doctors, then?
Yeah, I do. I also just got the...
Right.
I just got The Invasion of Time.
Well, that's a good one, too.
Invasion of Time.
I haven't watched it yet.
Invasion of Time. Can we watch Invasion of Time? Go on, we'll do that then. Invasion of Time.
Yeah, cool.
That was randomly selected.
Six episodes, but it's a good story.
Yeah, watch that. We haven't done a six episode one.
Six episodes?
Oh, just watch it.
And Leela gets married, so.
Yeah, that's all right. I'll be at home next week, I think. Or am I working? No, that's tomorrow, Monday night. Yeah, okay, we'll do that one.
Anyway.
Yeah, but anyway.
I'll talk to everyone
later.
Yes, thank you, Kirby.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
I'll point out something quite interesting now about the Invasion of Time.
Will you?
It ran in six weekly parts from the 4th of February.
Oh, God.
The 4th of February is my birthday.
Yay, happy birthday for then.
Yeah.
Yes, all right. Anyway.
The story was on when I was three.
Wow. Cool.
This podcast, I'm the bread of this podcast, and you're the cheese and tomato part of it that's on the inside. Because I
be
who's the mayonnaise?
Yeah, whatever you like.
What?
I feel so stressed.
I've just made my own mayonnaise.
I feel so stressed.
Toasted cheese sandwich.
I need a wee, so I've got to find a toilet. I've got to go to the bank, and then I think I'm going to buy some chocolate to de-stress me. In the meantime,
Why did
I have
to
put
say that.
What
yeah,
chocolate?
Did you have to? Stop it!
Chocolate. Oh.
It's,
I've got some at home.
I'm eating carrots.
Anyway.
And a toasted cheese sandwich.
Right, I've just logged on to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, and I'm just having a look, see what's going on.
Ooh,
via my
did
iPhone.
Did you see Nicholas Knox?
Nicholas Knox.
Did you see those?
So let's have a look at these, shall we?
Click on there and have a look at the photos.
Apologies to our female listeners, Mary Lang. Dawn as well. Sorry, Dawn.
Mary might like a good pair of Norks as well.
That is
as
very,
I said,
very.
Apologies to our female listeners. That's Mary. I detached myself from such things, and bear in mind I wasn't here when was going on.
I think there's another like on that Facebook page.
is it? Right, I'm just waiting for this to load.
There's
Oh my goodness!
I like it. So there's me and
no,
Ben.
I'm very pleased about that. Look at that.
But that picture on the bed—that's a bit small, isn't it?
Goodness gracious me!
Crude.
Anyway, sorry I wasn't. Or should I say, you're probably quite pleased I wasn't in this podcast very much this week.
I just figured out your
heart thank you all very
soul
much.
Of this podcast.
Thank you. Or who's been actually looking after the shop while I've been away?
I've been doing my
is
best.
That you, Reese?
I've been making
thank you.
Pages like that.
Don't lie, Reese.
I have.
Anyway.
Sorry, just choking.
Shall we wait for to compose yourself? Have you composed yourself yet?
You
all right. Right, anyway. If you want to write in to us, please do at, and if I've missed anybody's emails that have come in this week, we'll have them on next week. Do apologise, we'll have them on next week's show, anything that was missed out from this week. There's been a bit of activity on Facebook.
Send your emails to the 20 megabyte Nork part.
It's the 20. Will you stop interrupting my email address? The 20. Oh, no, you've made me cock it up. The 20mb.feedback. No, it's not the, is it? Where do you send your... for goodness sake. Send your emails in to 20mb.feedback@gmail.com. Hey, I've got it out. Right.
Or obviously you can add your own pictures of Nicholas Norks to the website.
Yeah, honestly, if you have nice, some very nice, sexy pictures of Nicola Bryant, please send them in. Nicola, in fact, Nicola Bryant, I might tweet her to say, if you've got any sexy pictures of yourself,
she
please post them.
Yes, please send...
Tell her we're not bothered about her face.
Please, she's got a lovely face.
Oh, it's a very nice
Please post
face
them on the 20 megabyte podcast group thing around. So 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast
and
on Facebook. Yeah, and Zoe's bum. Until then, and until next week, and just in case Alicia isn't on the rest of this podcast, which I don't think she will be, goodbye.
Bye-bye.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye-bye, Nicola.
Season.
And here's Alicia's future replacement. Sorry, I've forgotten your name.
Isabella.
Right, now you're asked to come on the show to do what?
The Doctor Who podcast.
Good grief. How many shows have we done and you still can't get the name right?
The 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
That's the one. What are you specifically wanting to do? You asked, you said, I want to do some podcasting, so what are you going to do? Bearing in mind there's a 1,000-odd listeners that you are here to entertain.
I want to do singing.
You can sing, that's fine, but what has that specifically got to do with Doctor Who?
For the students.
Students? What students?
There's students on the computer.
There's no students on the computer. Go on then, just as long as it's not a song you've already done, sing away.
I just want to sing.
That doesn't sound like singing. Does that sound like singing to you, Mummy?
Oh, McDonald's had a farm, E-I-E-I-O. And on that farm he had a pig, E-I-E-I-O. Then a onk onk here and a onk onk there, here onk there, onk everywhere, onk onk. Old McDonald's had a farm, E-I-E-I-O.
I hope this is the concise version. Carry on.
On that farm he had a cow.
Done that bit.
So
old McDonald's had a farm, and then it's like...
Old McDonald's. Old MacDonald's had a farm, E-I-E-I-O. And on that farm he had a cow, E-I-E-I-O. He went to moo-moo here and moo-moo there. He moo there, moo everywhere, moo-moo. Old MacDonald's had a farm, E-I-E-I-O. And on that farm he had a chicken,
We just decided this is going to be the concise version rather than the full farmyard version of this song.
Bop, bop here and a bop, bop there, bop there, bop everywhere, bop, bop. Old McDonald's had a farm, E-I-E-I-O.
Right, shall we do something to do with the content of the podcast now?
Yeah.
And the content of the podcast is?
Yeah, the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
No, that's the name of the podcast. What's the content of it? BBC what do we talk Web? About? What do we talk about?
Doctor Who.
That's it, right. So what do you think would be a good idea to look at if we're going to be talking about Doctor Who in relation to the show? What does that say?
Now.
It says news.
News.
Yes. So, let's see if we can find any news.
I'm
surprised they haven't actually released details of new figures with Christmas coming up. Be ideal time to sell figures, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is there any particular Doctor Who figures you'd like to have? Toys?
I don't know.
You don't know? Well, it says...
What? I really like looking at statues.
Statues?
Yeah.
We've got these little figures, haven't you? Who's this one?
Amy.
Oh, is there any figures from Doctor Who like Amy that you'd like to have? Like what?
I want an Amy figure. I want for Amy the statue in the Doctor Who, in the Doctor Who shop.
Oh, yes, I know what you're talking about, yes. Why?
Because they're missing her. And the doctor, because there's no doctor.
You can't
statue.
Play with it though if it's a statue, it's just something you put on display in your house. It's not a toy, is it? So you can't really have much fun with it.
Because you're not allowed to play with it, because they have to get it.
Well, you like your Amy toy, and you got your doctor toy. Aren't there any other characters that you'd like to have? No, I don't want them. I'm just saying, aren't there any other ones you'd like to have?
I want the Rory one.
Have you got a Rory one? I might be able to help you out with that one. I'm pretty sure I've got a duplicate Rory somewhere. So you'd like to have a Rory?
Yeah. And the lady who kills the doctor.
Who does?
The woman who kills the doctor.
Oh, you mean River?
Yeah.
They're slightly harder to come by. But I might have a Rory for you if you so would like a Rory.
Yeah, and a River.
Right, okay. Now, it says here, I'm going to read this from the 27th of November. In September 2011, BBC Three... sorry, am I boring you?
No.
Your mum's fallen asleep, so I'm obviously boring her. BBC Three controller Zai Bennett cancelled the Doctor Who Confidential programme.
Yeah.
Yes, as a cost-cutting measure. Confidential was a programme that was behind the scenes making of the BBC's flagship drama, Doctor Who. It also covered various events in the series for broadcast on BBC One and provided, can you stop talking over me, a full disc of extras for the DVD and Blu-ray box set releases. The highlight of the series was a script-to-screen segment in which schools were encouraged to enter a competition to write a script that would be filmed and broadcast on Confidential. The mini-episode would even star Matt Smith. After the cancellation, a huge campaign to save the show was initiated by fans of the show, leading to a petition with 55,000 signatures, of which one was mine, and support from various members of the industry, including the writer Neil Gaiman. A group of Doctor Who podcasters decided to write and record a song about the cancellation. Well, thanks for not inviting us, especially where you're, you know, a proper singer in that. I think that's rude. Anyway, they were. Where did I get up to? Write and sing a song about the cancellation. The collective eventually became known as No Touch Pod. Tony Gallagher from the Flashing Blade and the DWO Who Cast podcast wrote this tune and some of the lyrics, aided by Karen Dunn from the Staggering Stories podcast. Then a good number of podcasters from around the world recorded their own song, take on the song. These were then assembled and a music track recorded by producer Chris Adams. It must be stressed that the song is not intended as a serious protest record. It's a bit of fun, gentle parody of the Doctor in Distress record from 1985. Several Who celebs have contributed to the song, including writers Nev Fountain and Stephen Gallagher, and the voice of Axos, Bernard Holly. However, whilst lighthearted, it does make the point that Confidential is a source of inspiration to both children and adults. It shows them how their imaginations, which have been fired by Doctor Who, can be harnessed to create, write and produce music, film and literature. Indeed, the people both behind and on the song have all felt that inspiration from the show. And that thing just had to get in on the show somehow, didn't it?
Dad!
Just couldn't resist it, that clock.
Daddy,
yes. No.
What are those pictures?
No, they're not pictures. That's just little icons to lead you to other parts of the website. Let's say Doctor Who Confidential video thing.
Oh, I want to see it there, please.
You want to see it? Well, yeah. We'll play. We'll give it a go.
Woohoo!
Don't
Seen enough of it yet?
Oh, cool.
Situation is that basically all of us, lots of confusion, none of us can see. What's that doctor over there? See, perfect, absolutely perfect. Simon Pegg talked all about the gaff, and we chuckled at the show until he spoke about himself, and then he had to go.
So there you go. What do you think of that? Get your finger out of your mouth.
I didn't see what that was.
No, I'm not going to play anymore.
Please.
No. So what did you think then? Should they save Doctor Who Confidential? I'm not playing anymore. Anyway, Isabella, thank you. Yes, right, yes, okay. No, I'm not playing any more videos.
But please can I have the dolly?
No. Oh, they've released some new figures. That looks like the Fourth Doctor, Marker and Master figures from what's that thing called?
Darth Vader.
Who? No. Keeper of Trakan, that's the one. Anyway, Isabella, thank you for joining me on the show this week. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Why is that doctor?
Oh, that's nice, isn't it? What is it? Oh, it's the Christmas decorations. We discussed them in an earlier show.
Go down again.
What, this? They're Christmas decorations, as I just mentioned.
No.
Mobile ringtone.
I mean that. Why did I go there?
Don't worry about that. That's a Megloss DVD thing. Right. Thank you. Right. Thank you for joining me on the show this week, Isabella.
You're welcome.
And miracle amongst all miracles, I've managed to corner somebody who is very difficult to get off. Very rare species of podcaster. It's the Alicia. It's a very quiet species of podcaster.
Yeah, just wake up.
Right, you asked to actually come on the show this week.
Hello.
Hello, Isabella. You've already had your bit, so try not to interrupt. Yeah, so what did you want to do then? As you asked to come on the show?
You're the person that's supposed to do it, and you're supposed to. You're going to sack me anyway.
I've never said I'm going to sack you.
You said you were going to sack me.
No, I said I'd need to get a replacement until you.
That's sacking me.
No, it's not. It's a temporary replacement.
Yeah, but if you get a replacement, I will never talk to you again.
It's very important to have teenage...
I will never talk to you again. I will never talk to you again.
These are the boys...
Record stuff.
These are the boys where there's this writing on the fence.
Yes, Isabella is referring to the picture that's currently on Google at the moment. Right, so do you want to try and look at eBay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's have a look then.
Tired.
No, I said eBay, not tired.
Maybe you got up.
The thing is, right, Alicia, we've had various correspondences from listeners. One particular listener, I can't remember who it was, and apologies to you, because I can't remember which one it is, has asked for you to watch classic Doctor Who and talk about it on the show.
No, I don't like that.
Because what they want to do, the plan he wants to have, if let me talk, Isabella, please, is... us say which show you're watching, you watch the show, talk about it, and he writes in to answer your comments on it.
I don't like classic Doctor Who.
Yeah, I thought that might be your answer, and that's what I said in relation to the said thing.
New Doctor Who.
You're doing new Doctor Who after Christmas, from then on. Yes, good. Isabella?
E-B-A-Y.
eBay, that's right, yes. Yeah, so that's what we're doing. But I don't expect you to watch every single one with us, but it would be nice if you...
every single one of you, except the Empty Child one, but I'll watch...
Well, I'm not expecting you to watch every single one, because we'll be doing it weekly, and... So sometimes you might not be able to watch
them. Yeah, but there's nothing on TV after Christmas, so...
Oh, Dad, I want
you. Isabella certainly can, anyway, and she will be watching Dr. Dancer's Empty Child. Wait for Mum's reaction coming up.
Yeah, she'll listen.
She was really. Right then, so it's highest first. So when we set up this show, right? Where are you going?
Having a drink.
When this podcast was sort of conceived, which was like 4 or 5 years ago nearly now, when we had the Doctor Whovian podcast, the ultimate sort of aim was to have Ben on the show as my co-host.
Oh, cheers.
No, the ultimate one, but it turned out you actually were quite good in those days.
I am good. I am good, you just don't let me on it.
I'm so really good, aren't you?
You're really good, Isabella says she's really good.
I really want to be on it.
Good, I want you to be on it.
Every week.
I want you to be on it every week. Sorry about the background noises, listeners. It's the world's most beautiful woman having troubles with her hairdressing equipment in the other room.
That's Bobby.
Yeah, but honestly, I did want to get Ben on the show, and I was quite, because he's obviously quite a seasoned radio presenter, and surprise amongst all surprises, not only did he come on the show for one episode, he actually became a permanent fixture. And then when I started hearing other podcasts, and I heard Reese's podcast, and I heard Reese being his age at 16, and being so articulate, intelligent, and, you know, particularly enthusiastic about Doctor Who, I thought it'd be nice to have him on, but he's already got his own podcast. He won't be interested in joining ours. And what happens? He joins ours. And then one day I was a bit of a loose, because you weren't available, I thought, I need to get someone to help me on the show, and Kirby just happened to be available. He joined for that one episode, and he's still there. So I've got a rather good team of podcasters.
Oh, cheers. No.
You're not listening.
No.
So I've got a rather good team of podcasters, and I'm very lucky to have that. And I include you in that, Alicia. I just wish you'd actually be a bit more forthcoming. Right, let's do eBay. Are you going to read this eBay stuff, or am I doing it again?
I will.
Right, you're going to. It's the cable. Right, you're going to do it then, or can you not see if you haven't got your glasses on?
It's Oh!
Who done that? Turn it off.
It's off. Well, for
right. sake. Right, so there. Number one, this is the item which...
What, the original four-episode script of The Three Doctors?
Yes. Shall we look on that? It's actually no bids against it. And I can't believe it's got no bids against it.
Yeah, it's £2,500!
Yeah, but it's a very rare item. It's an actual script of The Three Doctors. And The Three
is
Doctors.
Is it signed?
It looks like it, doesn't it? See what the blurb says. Original Doctor Who script, Three Doctors, written by Bob Baker, Dave Martin, and signed by them. That's signed by the, excuse me, by the writers. Bob Baker, one of them, is a creator of K9, funny enough. But yeah, that's quite good, but no bids. Talking about eBay and Doctor Who, the week you weren't on it last week was the week that Children in Need had an auction of Matt Smith's costume.
Yeah.
Do you know how much it sold for?
No.
£50,000.
Oh, my God. Bye.
Goodbye.
But don't tell your mum.
Daddy. So they'll buy a costume, but they won't buy a rare script.
Yeah, but it's the actual, Matt Smith's actual Doctor Who costume.
Yeah, but still.
But that's an actual... £50,000, you could buy... Volkswagens.
Yeah, but that's £50,000 going towards Children in Need, so...
Yes, but £50,000 for a suit.
Anyway. I think someone who was very rich thought, it's going to a charity, so I might as well.
Sorry about the stirring noise in the background.
What are you doing
the
to
most
my
beautiful
hot
woman.
It doesn't even look like a hot chocolate.
The most beautiful woman in the world is stirring Alicia's hot chocolate. Yes, Isabella.
Can we stop now?
No! Why?
Right, the next... This is the item that's got the most bids against it. Well, not most bids, sorry. The most expensive item with bids against it is Doctor Who hand-painted Converse shoes signed by David Tennant.
Oh, wow.
£650. It's got 41 bids against it.
I would.
I wonder if they're the actual costume shoes or just like the ones, but... let's have a look to what it says. Up for grabs is a brand new pair of Converse, brand new, so not his, size 10. That's my size. They have been customised by Canvas Warriors celebrity artist Sandira. There is a space down the backs of the shoes for further personalisation. The shoes feature hand-painted artwork based on the hit TV series Doctor Who and have been signed by David Tennant. And the money goes to Accord Hospice in Paisley.
Aww.
So another charity one. That's why it's £650. Obviously.
Yep.
Good. There's a picture of her there with holding the Sid Converses. So that's number one. It's a nice one to have at number one, I think, really. Lots of charity things on the go at the moment.
Yeah, it's good to have charity things.
So when are you going to watch some Doctor Who, Alicia?
Well, I'm off today, so...
Do you want to watch a classic story, which is a two-part?
No.
Sontaran Experiment's only two parts.
Yeah, but it's boring.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
Can I watch a new?
No, because we're starting new Doctor Who after Christmas, like I said.
Yeah.
Immediately after Christmas, we will be ploughing through every single new Doctor Who story.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
But in the meantime, no.
No.
If you're going to do something for the show, we'll do it.
I want to watch a Donna episode.
Next week, we are doing Invasion in Time. What's the point? We'll be doing it again.
Mom, so, why did you fart?
I didn't hear
it. So uncouth, Alicia.
No! Right next to the microphone, so it's so bloody obvious that you just did it.
It was you.
So
uncouth.
It's the way it went quiet.
She has to concentrate while
she does, doesn't she? She's like,
while passing wind.
Passing wind, then.
Can you please edit that bit out? I'm not even joking. Shut up,
Mum!
You wipe me up! Go away!
Go away! I hate you!
Go away!
Can you lend me some money?
Can you go away?
Go away!
Go away!
There's not a lot of activity on eBay this week, it's got to be said. Because I'm going through three pages now, I'm still not finding said thing. I've got to go to work in 7 minutes.
I have no school or anything. I should be going on the bus or that, but...
Like I said, Alicia, there's not really much point in you watching Doctor Who, then we're doing Doctor Who in a few weeks' time. So if you want to watch Doctor Who and me, we're actually reviewing next week The Invasion of Time. And that's a six-part story, so I doubt you want to watch that.
We'll see.
It's a Tom Baker story set on Gallifrey. Oh, what? There's nothing. No bids against anything at the moment.
So
well, get Alicia to do them. Get Alicia to do them, then. Thank you for that snorty noise, Isabella. There's nothing. This is going to be the worst eBay section we've ever done.
Sorry.
Pardon? Don't wipe your nose on your sleeve.
Sorry.
What?
Just leave it out, please.
Leave what?
Leave this.
Sorry.
Because that seems quite funny,
I'm going to give it a go. On to page 6 now.
Oh, Mum, I'm going Christmas shopping today. Anything you'd like me to get in Poundland?
It's got real relevance to the show, isn't it?
But anything, no, really, seriously, anything you want me to get in Poundland? Can I? Oh, I need to ask you something in a minute.
Right, can I continue with this?
No, I need to ask you something. I need to ask you something in a minute, actually.
Can I continue with this?
May I get his...
Can I continue with this, please? Number two.
We've got one.
Number two is Doctor Who. Sorry, Doctor Who TARDIS DVD video cabinet. And video cabinet. Look. I always wondered one. Remember when we got married, they had those out, and I was sort of...
What?
The video cabinets. The Doctor Who TARDIS video cabinets.
Yeah, it's quite sad.
It's £103 on eBay. I think they were cheaper to buy at the time. Okay. And finally, the third item with bids against it is
Doctor Who sign language.
It's Doctor Who Typhoo tea box. 144 bags of tea bags. Deborah, listen to this.
Oh yeah.
Doctor Who Typhoo tea box. 144 bags. 8 bids. £102.
Oh, what was the money?
It's just the box. It's just the box with no tea bags in it. Look.
No. So I can get the tea bags.
Yeah. There it is. Just
oh,
got a bit.
What a waste. That's
eight bids at £102.
No, I'm sorry, that's got to be sad. If you want to buy a box with nothing.
But there's no tea in it. Somebody's torn it apart. You can see where the glue was on the panel.
That's sad.
But we've got that cereal box in the cupboard.
Yes, it's never been opened.
Yeah, well, you can get them on here for available.
Yeah, we can.
They're on eBay.
No, really?
Oh, yeah. Someone will pay at least 100 for it.
No, not that much.
No.
Anyway, I've got to go. So,
can I see it?
No, it's antique. I don't know
what
it is, actually.
No, I will just do a trick.
It's not this.
Is it an audio trick, Isabella? Because it won't really work on an audio presentation, a visual trick.
It's a yo-yo trick.
It's a yo-yo trick. What's the name of the snack?
It was Corn Pops.
Just have a look.
Corn Pops, look. Still got it. I don't know,
they've
probably got all mouldy and yucky inside.
Oh,
the knittle boxes, weren't they?
Remember when celebrities used to be on?
Here we go. Yeah, 99 pounds.
I have an antique for 99p. Woo!
Oh, I did have a
look. No bids, 99p. Although, you can get some flat-packed ones. They're listed at £49. But no bids. In fact, no bids against any of all. But none of these are actually... These are just flat pack. These aren't the actual... Oh, no, it says sealed in box. That's 99p plus £1.20 postage.
Wow, see, I have an antique.
And, Isabella, you know you're after my River Song... My River Song character options thing. Shall we see how much that's going for on eBay? River Song...
Mum! You know you love me.
No.
Can I please watch Take That this morning?
No, she hasn't watched herself.
Oh. Can we watch it together?
You have homework. I'm working.
£134.
What time do you start work?
9:15. I've got to
take...
I'm just hoping...
That's the... Will you stop talking over my presentation?
Oh, shut up.
I want to watch it.
No bids against any of these rivers. Apart from the ones that are the gold... You know, the ultra rare. Oh, we are. It's £4.
Yes.
I could get £4 for that. I paid £1.99 for it, but if I sold it on eBay, I could get £4 for it.
Ooh. Yes!
Wow, that's
lovely. So there you go. Oh, that's the Doctor and River song, though, but that's no bids.
Yeah. Cool.
Cool, isn't it? Anyway, I'm going to go. Thank you for listening this week.
That's a bit rude. It's
been a bit of a...
You're welcome.
Can I do it next week? I'll let you say
you can
no.
Do it every week, but every time we try to record, you slope off to your room.
I asked you to come up to my room
yesterday. Why should I come up to you? All you're going to be doing is tapping on your keyboard, holding your power cable into your computer.
My computer's downstairs.
And it's a bit difficult talking about Doctor Who when you haven't actually had anything to do with Doctor Who.
You won't let me watch the new Doctor Who episode.
Same.
No, I won't, because we're doing them after Christmas and it's pointless going back and over again. So maybe you should retire from the show until... until Christmas. No, until Christmas. Or maybe just do eBay until Christmas. Stop sulking. Anyway, listeners, thank you very much for listening to the show this week. Back next week. Hopefully a little bit less fraught, including Isabella.
That was really good.
Was it? Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye.
Is it about Alicia?
No.
Whatever. I'd love to talk to you because I'm like this now.
Shut up.
Shut up, Mum.
All right, well, it could be on the show, obviously, because I like being you've been on the show, but it's a bit pointless when it's a Doctor Who podcast. You went like 4 years ago. Somebody did say they listened to all the old shows that had all the clips from the show we did 5 years ago, and how different you were, and how enthusiastic you were about Doctor Who then. No, you were enthusiastic about it. Now you're not so. And even a year ago, she was quite enthusiastic about it. We actually were able to do a 50-minute podcast with you.
Well, that just has gone, Adam. There's no politeness in kids anymore.
It doesn't do with politeness. It's to do with interest in the subject matter of the podcast.
I'm waiting to
Don't cry. Right, I'm going to go. It's getting a bit headachey in here.
Isabella,
I'm going to work.
I'm going to hover.
And then I've got to go to Newport and get my new iPhone. Bye.
What's up?
Bye.
The 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV services production and is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance.
Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.